This podcast was derived from the Rotary and Community Services Show, which was broadcast on the 30th of August 2013 on Community Radio Station 3WBC 94.1 FM. In this conversation, we talk about the installation of cath labs in developing countries. And on the Rotary and Community Services Show on 3WBC 94.1 FM. And in some ways there's a bit of a theme, but in some ways it's totally and utterly different. So I'm going to welcome Peter Cummins here, and Peter's with the Rotary Club of Nunawading, and he's involved in a very medical type project. Welcome, Peter, and can you very briefly explain your special project?
The project involves taking pre-loved, as we call it, pre-loved cardiac cath labs, which are basically the big machines that are used to put stents into
labs,
the heart.
What's that?
A cath lab, yes.
Yeah.
A catheterization laboratory is the extended version. The machines that are used to put stents into the heart. When they're approximately 10 years old in Australia, we replace them with the latest technology.
Right. But is that because they wear out, or is it because the technology is evolving so fast that a 10-year-old machine is...
In Australia, they're looking for ever faster throughput.
Right.
And there is another little thing, that the Medicare system gives the hospitals a rebate for every procedure done until the machine is 10 years old. After that, the rebate becomes less, so they're less economical to run beyond that point.
So it's a sort of almost a financial thing.
That as well, yes.
Yeah.
So we ask for donations of these machines.
Mm-hmm.
We try to get two identical machines, one for spare parts and one complete. We pack them in a container. We ship them to Mongolia, to Fiji, to Nepal, to Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
And we reinstall them there, and then we try and keep them running for 6 years.
Okay. Now, just before I lose the thread there, these are fairly expensive sort of pieces of equipment, and are the sort of hospitals fairly, I was going to use the word happy to give them to Rotary, that's probably not quite the right word, but they see the benefit of sort of passing them on to Rotary so they can be recycled, as it were?
There's no problem there because of the rebate dropping.
Yeah.
There's no second-hand market for them in Australia.
Oh, I see, of course.
So they're very happy to donate them.
Yes. Rather than going to the tip, they may as well be used.
Use them, exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right, so you've got these machines. You try and get two of the same. Are there many different types of these machines?
In Australia, there's five major manufacturers.
Active. Oh, good heavens, yeah.
There's an American company, there's two European companies, and two Japanese companies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm allowed to mention their names.
Oh, that's
I work for the Dutch company.
Oh, okay. It's probably called Philips, is it?
Which is called Philips.
Fair enough.
And so that automatically means that I'm restricted to only using Philips machines.
Ah.
Because Philips would consider it a conflict of interest if I started dealing with our competitors' machines overseas.
Yeah.
And I lack the knowledge as well, so I don't want to go down that path.
So you stick with the Philips machines?
And I know exactly which machines are coming out. Mm. They're all, ones of the same model are all reaching that 10-year age point at the same point. So.
Yeah. And these machines, what are they actually used for?
Basically, diagnosis and treatment of vascular and cardiac problems. So the most common use in Australia is the cardiac angiograms putting in stents into the heart.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sure there's many people in the audience tonight who've been on my machines.
I'm sure that's absolutely right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So I love this idea, and we had on about 6 months ago a chap in charge of donations in kind within Rotary, and everything from books to school tables, computers, they pack into containers and send them off to, in this case, a lot went to East Timor and Fiji.
Yeah.
I just think it's a wonderful way of giving good use to things that probably normally would have gone to the tip if they hadn't been picked up and used.
Exactly. And donations in kind is actually a very large part of what we do, because without them we wouldn't be able to ship these containers.
Now, you get these containers, you pack them, send them off. I can imagine that the just the sheer logistics and construction requirements for installing these machines in places like you were mentioning Mongolia must be horrendous.
Well, Mongolia is a special case because the language difficulties, especially when we first started there.
Yeah.
The first machine we installed was in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And people had no idea what they were getting.
Right.
But also we couldn't really explain it because even the translators, the interpreters, English wasn't good enough to understand what we were saying.
Yeah. Why are you sending them to the Mongolia in the first place?
A project set up by Dr. Alan Gale, cardiothoracic surgeon from the Sydney Adventist Hospital.
Right.
Who used to go up there and do volunteer work. And his comment was that if there was a cath lab there, he'd be able to devote his time to the surgery that's really necessary and leave all the keyhole surgery to the cath lab people.
Oh, okay.
In addition to that, there was a French doctor's team, cardiologist team, that was very willing to go up and work in Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, using this machine and training the local doctors there.
So it was a case of somebody within the Rotary community was working up there for whatever reason. They needed some equipment, and that's how it all came about.
Not quite, no.
Oh, right.
To my knowledge, Dr. Alan Gale was never a Rotarian.
Oh, okay. He was just working.
He was working for the Sydney Adventist Hospital, and the Sydney Adventist Hospital decided to donate their machine to Mongolia.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Because he had asked for it.
Yeah.
And then they needed somebody to install it, and they approached our team leader. He's still our team leader, although he's almost 80 years old now.
Oh, right.
Ron Marcus.
Yeah.
And
that's how it all started.
And Ron Marcus then rang me, and
off you are.
And off I am, yeah.
And off air, he's been telling me they've got another interesting one in Sri Lanka. In fact, I think there's two, isn't there, Peter?
Well, there's one that was installed in 2008, and there's another one being installed, hopefully, beginning of next year.
Okay, well, let's talk about the first one in 2008.
That was a very interesting project. In Mongolia, we had language problems, but in Sri Lanka, you don't have language problems. You have other problems.
Like what might they be?
Caste systems and...
Oh, dear.
And, you know, you'll find the hierarchy of the hospital won't talk to the labourers.
Oh, okay.
But our team of Rourke's people...
Yeah. Oh, by the way, what does Rourke stand for?
Rotary Australia World Community Services.
Thank you. I did know that before.
Yeah, that's... The Rourke's is actually the organisation that we work under.
Yeah.
So it's... And, you know, I mean, you've got to have some umbrella, and Rourke's then takes care of insurance for us.
But a lot of backroom stuff.
Yeah. But anyway,
In Sri Lanka,
we, not being fully aware of all these things and not really caring very much about them, you know.
Right.
Just dealing with the labourers, and the boss is the same. It actually led to one day that we had a brownout, no power to the hospital, and we couldn't do anything on a Sunday, in fact.
Oh, yeah.
And the labourers were sitting around doing nothing, so we organised a plank and a tennis ball, and we had a Australia-Sri Lanka cricket team, game, yeah?
Yeah, I bet every Sri Lankan knows how to play cricket.
Oh, and they play it so much better than all Rotarians.
How did you get over these sort of unique sort of cultural things like caste issues? It must be very hard.
Oh, look, my wife is actually born in Sri Lanka, so that makes it a little bit easier there.
Yeah, but, good.
I've travelled in that kind of environment quite a bit. And
so this went into Sri Lanka?
Yeah, into a place called Kurunagala, which is
sort of an upcountry,
town. It's about 70, 80 kilometres from Colombo, which equates to 4 hours' drive.
The roads are bad, are they? Or are they very mountainous, are they?
No, the roads are that bad and the traffic is so horrendous. You know, there's cows and cattle running over the road, and it's just...
How long did it take for that to be fully installed and operational?
It took us 3 weeks.
Okay.
From the moment we got to the site to completion.
Yeah. Now, one of the things in the thing that you surprised me, the background material, is the size and amount of people involved in a single cath lab. And I would have thought there's a lot of wiring and things like
that. There is. There's up to about 4 kilometres of wiring. There's heavy lifting to be done. We could all use local labour.
Right.
But all our volunteers are actually self-funded. And a self-funded volunteer is still cheaper than local labour.
Is that wrong? Well, yes,
I hope there's not too many of my friends listening.
Well, we do go on the World Wide Web.
No, it's okay. And, yeah. But there's another very good reason to use as many Australians as we can, because when you're dealing with a machine hanging off a ceiling that weighs 1.5 metric ton, you don't want a mistake made. You don't want communication problems to get in the way, because somebody could get killed.
Yeah, that's a very heavy piece of machinery.
And so we've got a team that we all know exactly what has to happen and how, and we all work together and make sure nobody gets injured that way. But we do use local labour as well when needed.
But there must be sort of just a right sort of construction to house these things. Is that sort of an issue, or you...
We build that as well.
Oh, you build that, I was going to say. Yeah. You know.
We take all the hardware that we need.
Yeah.
For every project we do a site inspection to make sure that the building is strong enough to hold the machine and the ceilings are strong enough and the concrete is good quality.
I was going to say, with all that, I mean, you know, it's just like taking some boxes and connecting them, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
More complicated than that.
It isn't. In fact, we go to an absolute extreme in that any cath lab we install would meet Australian standards easily.
Right.
Including the ceiling structures, everything would be as it would be here in Australia. We don't compromise on quality.
Now, we've talked about one project that's in Sri Lanka, and just talking off air, you've got another one that's coming up very, very soon. Is that right, Peter?
That's correct, yes. Yep. We have the machine sitting in the warehouse in Sydney at the moment.
Right.
And hopefully it'll be packed beginning of next week.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be going to Sri Lanka in November, so that'll give me the opportunity to unpack the container.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably postpone the actual installation until February next year.
Right.
So my visit to Sri Lanka will also be a site visit to make sure that the preparations are going
ready.
According to plan, and we're not going to come up against big hurdles when we do the install.
Yeah.
And it's going to be installed in a place called Ratnapura,
mm-hmm.
which is actually the gem capital of...
I had heard that name before.
So it looks like it's going to be a very interesting project.
Oh, excellent.
We're working together with a group called the Australia Sri Lanka Council.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kindly picking up the cost of the containers for us this time.
Which aren't cheap, are they, Peter?
Oh, no.
No.
It
won't go down there.
In
terms of this particular project... What's the sort of medical needs of why it's being put?
The population is aging, here. They're getting older. They're falling into the same trap as the Western world of eating the wrong foods.
Mm-hmm. Away from their original and traditional foods.
Developing cardiac disease that way. But there's another very, very large group of people that actually need the help of these cath labs. And they're the sufferers of rheumatic heart disease.
Ah, okay.
If somebody has rheumatic fever in Australia, it's sort of picked up immediately and treated.
Mm-hmm.
In developing countries, it's considered just a very, very bad cold, and they let it go. And so later on, the children, the teenagers, the people in their 20s, start suffering from this rheumatic heart disease. And a very, very simple procedure on the cath labs...
Yeah.
We'll overcome that problem.
Oh, that's a fantastic story.
Well, I'm not saying it'll overcome it permanently. I don't know that. But, I know that they walk away and lead a normal life for at least about 10 years.
Oh, that's...
So that's it's especially important for young girls who want to have a start a family. Because rheumatic heart disease, there's all kinds of complications. And
making childbirth very difficult, if not impossible.
Well, if they treat it using surgery, they end up on medication. And that's sort of counterindicated with the child bearing. Yeah. And so it's...
All right. Now, you're with the Rotary Club of Nunawading. I'd like to hear just a little bit about the Rotary Club of Nunawading.
Where to start?
Well, we're up to 8 o'clock. How many people are you?
Pushing 50 now.
Oh, that's a nice
number. We're actually the membership is increasing at the moment.
That's good.
And I attribute that to the rowdiness of the club and the fantastic fellowship that we have.
Oh, that's good.
Mm. Every meeting's a pleasure to go.
So where and when do you meet?
We meet on Wednesdays, arrive at 6 o'clock for 6.30 start at Bucatini's in, what is it? Is it Nunawading? Yeah, it's Nunawading there, isn't it? It's not Mitcham.
Whereabouts is that?
Do you remember where old Nero's was?
Oh,
opposite the Nunawading Town Hall almost.
That's right, I'm with you,
It's... I think Nero's, everybody knows that.
That's right. And presumably your club's got a website, so if people want to go see what was going on there.
Oh, then the best way to find it is just a quick search for Rotary Nunawading.
Ah, okay.
And on Google, and it'll pop up that way.
That's good.
And it's...
Now, last thing, Peter, is there anything else you'd like to tell our audience about project, any help you want from the public, if there's any?
Oh, look, any support is always welcome.
Mm-hmm.
They could actually start with the fundraising. Am I allowed to mention
this? Yes, go for it. All the details.
On the 20th of September, there's a fundraising jazz night at the Box Hill Town Hall.
Oh, just about starting where we are now.
In fact, you'll be able to go straight out of here into the on the 20th. If people are interested in joining that, they could send me an email at rotary9810 at westnet.com.au.
But add that again, I think, Peter.
That's rotary9810 at westnet.com.au. That's a good email address to reach me at.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I'll send out the brochure and how to contact
and get and tickets. If they did the web search and found the club, there'd be something on the web.
No, this only came up a few days ago. I only learned about this a couple of days ago.
Oh, fair enough.
So it's not there yet.
Okay, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Well, Peter, thank you very much for coming along.
It's been
one thing that I'm amazed with this show, the amount of variety and different things we have on. The Rotary and community service world is truly amazing in the sort of scope, nature of what we do. So can I just say, well done, and please keep carrying on with the good work.
Thank you. And I will. I enjoy it too much to give it up.
Good on you, Peter. Thanks for coming along. Thank you for listening to this podcast. This was produced and presented by David Proud of the Rotary Club of Canterbury in Melbourne, Victoria. Other podcasts can be found on our club website, which is www.canterburyrotary.org.